Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. Hey, the .NET members are already listening to 2 hours of in-depth WWE roster evaluation. Will Pruitt and I got started today. It's comprehensive enough that we made it through the champions and then the wrestlers who fall in the A to C alphabetical order as they are listed on the WWE website, which starts with their first name. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but trust me, 2 hours worth. And it's a lot of fun. We go in depth on where we feel these wrestlers are slotted in terms of their upside as far as just various notes on all the different talent. And it always gets good reviews when we do these. We do separate ones for NXT, ROH, and TNA as well. And we wanted to wait until after WrestleMania this year so that we weren't just doing it at the end of the year when everything is kind of blocked. We have a better feel for things coming out of WrestleMania. And so check that out if you are a .NET member. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net and you will find the sign-up page. Once you're in there, 3 different pricing options, $7.50 for 1 month of membership. We'll get you started. If you want to save yourself a little bit of coin, you can do so by taking advantage of the 6-month offer or whittle that price all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month if you take the annual option. Great time to sign up with the WWE roster evaluation getting started. And then also last week's two-part, 2-hour-plus interview with Justin Credible, where he looked back on the early days of China, sharing a locker room with her. Well, maybe not the same locker room, but you know what I'm saying. Being backstage with China, being on the road with China during her first days in the WWF at the time. Today, I want to tackle a couple of topics that really have one big thing in common, and that is existing talent speaking out publicly about their issues in WWE. It's not something we see occur on a regular basis, and one of my Twitter followers pointed out, and I'm paraphrasing here, that many pro athletes will voice their opinions without any fear of consequences, yet it feels like a big deal when it happens in WWE because it happens so infrequently. And I want to stress that because while what I'm about to say about these issues may sound negative at times, I do want to applaud both Ryback and Adam Rose for speaking out. At least to some degree, I want to applaud them. I like when people who feel wrong voice their opinions publicly, regardless of the consequences. And I wished it happened more in pro wrestling. I understand why it doesn't. It's an easy thing to say. Athletes in pro sports have unions that are in place that are set up to help protect them. And I think more importantly with athletes, they also have other teams who will compete for their services if they're good at what they do. If Tom Brady suddenly turns on the Patriots and voices his displeasure to the point that Bill Belichick doesn't want him around anymore, there's another team that's going to want Tom Brady. I mean, really, that scenario happened with Randy Moss when he was with the Patriots. Not that he was speaking out about the team, but he was starting to be a bit disruptive behind the scenes, and wouldn't you know it, my Minnesota Vikings were thrilled to have him back. It didn't work out so well. While there's only one NFL, one NBA, one NHL, one Major League Baseball, the structure is such that if a player has some value, he can safely voice his opinion and still find work elsewhere in the league. It gets a little trickier if it's a fringe player, meaning a team could find a player of similar talents who isn't known as a guy who rocks the boat. Then it comes into play. But I digress. I just wanted to at least make that comparison here to start with. And let's start with Ryback. He said his dispute isn't about money or a tour bus. He said he worked those things out. But then he went on to question why wrestlers aren't paid equally. And it was hard to tell whether he was suggesting equal pay across the board or equal pay for slots on the card. So let's look at both. Let's start with equal pay across the board. This is an easy one for me. I mean, basically what he's suggesting is it's pro wrestling communism, and it's just not going to work. If WWE took whatever they're paying talents now, it just took that amount and then split it up equally, well, top stars like John Cena, Roman Reigns, just insert whatever names you want, because I know some of you are going to hear that and go, well, good, they'd leave. Well, the next time their deals came up, they would demand higher pay, or they would leave the company for New Japan Pro Wrestling, or just any competitor who was willing to pay them more. It's a no-brainer. If he's suggesting that basically equal pay for working the same match, I still don't think it's that logical. I don't think it's that simple. The WWE system certainly isn't perfect, and it does feel somewhat arbitrary at times, so I'm not defending it as like the perfect setup by any means, but I can poke a hole in this whole approach pretty quickly. WWE house shows at one point were headlined by Hulk Hogan against Sika. Trust me when I tell you that people weren't there to see Sika, and it's nothing against Sika. People paid to see Hulk Hogan and other stars on the show, too, but Hulkamania was running wild. People were there to see Hulk Hogan. So did Sika really deserve equal pay as Hulk Hogan? No, of course he didn't. I had some on Twitter yesterday argue that it should be equal pay for equal work. To that I asked, did Prince's band members make as much as Prince? Again, of course not. The movie Step Brothers came to mind. And I really did try to find out the pay breakdown before I just kind of threw in the towel on this because I don't know that the info is readily available, but the movie is called Step Brothers. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly have pretty much, you know, they're just the stars of the movie, and both were, in my opinion, tremendous. It was a very fun movie. They're great in their comedy roles and were equally important as far as the movie quality was concerned. I don't know this again because I couldn't find the info, but I'd be willing to wager heavily that Will Ferrell was paid substantially more than John C. Reilly because he was the bigger and hotter name at the time. He was the one selling the tickets more than John C. Reilly was, even though John C. Reilly was great in Step Brothers. Again, in my opinion, maybe you think the movie sucked, but I thought it was a lot of fun, and I still get a huge kick out of it if I watch it again. Another one that came to mind is like an ensemble cast. We'll just go with like That 70s Show, and the reason I go with that is because I think most of the actors were pretty unknown at the time. I have no idea what they were paid when the show started. Maybe Topher Grace got a little more than the other cast members because the show revolved around his character. I'm not sure. But I'm guessing the pay was pretty similar, at least in some cases. And I'd once again be willing to wager, without knowing for sure, that Topher Grace and Ashton Kutcher ended up making a lot more money as time went on than their other cast members did because they were the ones, to use a wrestling term, getting over. There may be exceptions with ensemble casts that agree, like, let's split it all equally. Who knows? But the point remains that it's not just a pro wrestling thing. It's an entertainment industry thing. I also had people argue that it's somehow different because one man is ultimately responsible for the creative in WWE. Look, the buck stops with someone in film and television, too. I mean, there are plenty of actors out there who are unsatisfied by the material that they are given, by the characters that they're playing, and they probably could do great things if they were given better material. Just as Ryback believes he could do more if he were given better opportunities. The showrunner in WWE is Vince McMahon, and for whatever reason, he only sees so much in Ryback. And it's really no different than for anyone out there who works a 9-to-5 job. Most of us have been passed over for a promotion, and in some cases, it's for a coworker that we just feel we're better than that coworker for whatever reason. And maybe we can back it up. Maybe it's just a slam dunk, but for whatever reason, the boss went with that person. Maybe we work hard. Maybe we feel like that person is an ass kisser. You know, whatever. The point is that it's ultimately our superior who is making the call when it comes to who gets the promotion. And sometimes life just isn't fair, you know. And so all this, well, it's Vince McMahon. I understand Ryback's frustration. I don't feel like they've made the most out of what they could with Ryback. I thought he was really doing well when he had that feud with CM Punk, and then they turned him heel because they needed someone to feed to John Cena coming out of WrestleMania one year. You know, he was very green at the time with Punk, and obviously he and Punk had some issues that have been pretty well documented, but people were into him. And that heel run was just a disaster. I mean, remember Ryback? So I'm not sitting here saying Vince McMahon has done great things with Ryback. I feel like he could have done more with him. But life isn't fair. And, you know, it doesn't mean that... I just wonder what Ryback's perspective would be if he were a top guy right now. You know, and he kind of seemed to indicate like he thinks because he's losing matches, he makes less than the winner. That's not the case. I mean, no way. If Undertaker does a job to Bo Dallas, you know, it's some fluky thing, just to pick out something completely ridiculous, do you really think Bo Dallas is going to be paid more than Undertaker? No. I wish pro wrestling had a union. I don't believe it's going to happen. I mentioned recently in this very audio show that if you're someone who believes a pro wrestling union is going to happen, have a conversation with Jim Ross about it sometime. You know, bring it up to him, and he will quickly make you feel like it is never going to happen, and he makes a strong case as for why. Basically, he just doesn't see the guys that were getting together. You know, I mean, stranger things have happened, but I realistically don't think it will happen, even though I wish it would. I think the wrestlers should be classified as employees. I think they deserve to get the perks that others in the entertainment industry get and that employees get. I wish there was a system in place that helped really ensure that lower card wrestlers were treated fairly. And I wish there was a union that would be able to step up on behalf of Adam Rose. A couple of weeks after promising more details on how his doctor disagreed with WWE suspending him, he finally ended up releasing a doctor's note explaining that he was prescribed with a drug that helps him with attention deficit disorder, ADHD. He said that WWE officials were aware of this for a full year before it became an issue and then suspended him. The doctor's note said that Rose is compliant with the doctor's treatment recommendations. And then Rose added on Twitter, quote, "My doctor's note has promised I did nothing wrong and was following all correct protocols." If everything Adam Rose is saying is true, and he truly was wronged in this situation, yeah, WWE should step up and do the right thing. We only know his side of the story, though. WWE hasn't even said what he tested positive for to trigger that suspension. He didn't provide any documentation given to him by WWE that would show that information. And so there's just not enough known to really declare his innocence. Either way, it's just all we know is he is contesting it publicly, and we know that WWE suspended him. That's it. And he has a doctor's note saying that it wasn't this particular drug. We don't know what he tested positive for, though. If he's willing to go this far with it, then I hope he'll take the next step, produce the proper documentation. If he really feels like he's been wronged, what does he have to lose at this point? He's already made this a public issue, so if he's truly been wrong, I'd like to see him explain why he was suspended the first time, because remember, this is his second wellness policy violation. I bring that up because he said that one of the reasons that he was making this a public issue is that he didn't want his children to find out years from now about this whole situation and assume the worst. So, maybe he needs to be completely forthcoming and address that first suspension too, and then provide more details about the circumstances that led to this now second suspension. Tell the story, let the facts speak for themselves, and, based on the information that we have, again, there's really no conclusion to be drawn, but I wish there was something, a system in place where he would be able to, like NFL players are able to appeal. Rarely works, but at least there's an appeals process. There was a story recently on the Pro Football Talk website, and I can't remember where it originated. I think it was something that they were linking to, but I was reading about an NFL player who tested positive for something, and I think he was far enough along in their version of the wellness program that I think he was going to miss 10 games or something like that. And it turned out that what he tested positive for was triggered by meat that he ate outside the United States. I think they had games in Mexico, or a game in Mexico, and so he spent about a week down there and was eating the beef. And sure enough, it turned out that he was able to prove that it wasn't that I was taking anything illegally, it's just this, whatever it was in the beef, was triggering this. And the NFL reversed it. If he's been wronged in this situation, everything is as he is saying, the WWE really doesn't have an argument for it. Well, I would hope they would do the right thing, but I wish there was a system in place so that guys who are, feel like, hey, I didn't do this, at least have a voice other than just telling them, I didn't do it. Well, too bad. The system says you did. That's all she wrote. Serve your suspension. We'll talk to you when it's over. You get to talk to people within the company, obviously, and you can voice your perspective, but I just don't know if there's any type of real system where you can, in Rose's case, really appeal it and lay out the documentation. You would think that it would just be a matter of, well, okay, someone's going to listen, and if you have a good explanation and you have proper documentation, then, things will work themselves out. But I without knowing more details about this, it's really hard to say, poor Adam Rose. It may be a situation of poor Adam Rose. He was wronged. May not be. So let's let that whole thing play out a little bit. I just wanted to chime in on those two things today. I apologize for updating a little bit later than usual. I try to get this out sometime early afternoon whenever possible, doing the show with Will for a couple of hours, and then I had an errand to run. It just didn't work out. Didn't get this out as timely as I'd hoped. But that said, join Zach Zimmerman for NXT live coverage if you hear this before the show, or certainly check it out after the fact. And then Zach is going to be by on Thursday with an audio review exclusively for .NET members, who will also hear my TNA Impact Wrestling audio review. I'm hoping still later today. I'm going to try to record that once I am finished here, if time permits. Finally, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. It is always appreciated when you help spread the word about the podcast, even as simple as when I put the link out there on my Twitter page, at ProWrestlingNet, a simple retweet. Some of you guys are already doing that. I really appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who has taken a moment to either review the show or give a retweet. Again, you're helping spread the word about the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast, and I am very grateful to those of you who are trying to help us with that cause. Until next time, which actually will probably be Monday, I'm guessing, because in the next couple of days, certainly tomorrow, you're going to hear the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett, and you probably will again on Friday. That's still to be determined, but just know that I will be by on Sunday night with live coverage of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, so you can join me at ProWrestling.net for that, and then members will hear an exclusive audio review of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view as well coming up on Sunday night. So thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.